All right, but we have two questions this morning. First, this is the easier one is here. Has anyone gone on vacation and used some type of guide once you landed or got wherever you were going? Like you hired a company that had a guide to take you around or to help you with sightseeing? All right, Renee, yes. Mike, yes. Sains, yes. All right, so Heather, yes. Was that? Okay.
And on our cruise, we did some, I know in the 80s, we did a bus tour. Our family, we did something about
like
a tour.
Well, something more more personal or individual, where it wasn't just like a big bus, huh?
You and Lauren did a tour. You had a bus driver.
Right, but that was still like the whole bus was taking us around and... I'm trying to get, like, it was a personal guide where they, like, you hired them and then they took you to specific places, just more specific. All right. So then, the next question then, based on that, is why is the guide so important when you're traveling through places that you haven't been before? All right, so we can talk about this one a little bit more. Greg.
Help you avoid dangerous places.
All right, help you avoid dangerous places. All right, Beth. All right, they know important or interesting facts about places that you're at or where you are going. Mike?
So you don't get lost.
All right, so you don't get lost. All right, so they can they know the region, they know where you're at, and they can get you places and back to your hotel or wherever you're staying safely.
Shortcuts.
They know the shortcuts.
Answer questions for you.
All right, they know the answers to the questions that you might have. So as you're asking questions, they know the background, they have answers. Debbie?
I feel like they point out more interesting facts, like with this one tour, they were pointing out this is a school for children that people are homeless and things like that. So it made the culture and the place that you're visiting a little more alive.
Okay, so it made the experience of being wherever you were at come alive because of the facts and... Right. Okay.
They help also help you interpret when you're in country.
All right. They help you interpret when you don't know the language. Yes. And you don't get ripped off.
Right.
I just don't really trust them.
All right. You don't trust them.
Keep on a timeline.
Is that from your military experience? Okay.
Depends. You know where we're going is on.
And that would.
For 2 minutes, you make a bread.
I don't want to be robbed or I fall.
I always, whenever I've gone anywhere, I've always hated, you know, paying somebody to help you. You know, well, I'll just go look at my own and do all that and try to make it on your own. But I've never had a personal guide. But you know, on the bus tours or different things, it's amazing how much they add to your trip, and how they make things come alive more than just drive down the road and go, oh yeah, that all looks nice. Where they're actually pointing things out and sharing with you interesting things about what you're driving, where you are, the different houses, different places around.
And it's interesting though, if you make an effort with a guide, even if you're in a large group, and you treat them like a person and not like you're just another busy tourist, it's amazing that you can have one-on-one and really get to know them a little bit more and have an entirely different experience.
Right. Yep. That's true. Any other thoughts on this?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so kind of the flip side where you as the tourist are able to help the guide and be an ambassador for Christ and share Christ with them. And that goes back to what Renee said, if you spend a little extra time with them, talking with them and sharing with them. Good. All right, so we're going to look at John 16, and we are down to verse 9, 10. Let's see. Let me find my place in my Bible here. I think the print's getting smaller. Verse 12. Yes. Yeah, can you loan me your glasses? Once I focus on it, I'm fine. Verse 12, 16, 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So really, all the way back to verse 15, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and this Christ is continuing discussing about the Holy Spirit. Verses 5 and 6, the disciples were very much ingrained in that physical thought process of Christ. And so they were, when Christ is talking about leaving, they're very sorrowful, they're sad. And we saw in verse 7 that sometimes pain and sorrow are very necessary and needful, that we will go through that in life, that we don't escape that just because we are followers of Christ. But our mission then is to continue to trust and believe and just persevere. Then we saw in verses 8 through 11 that the Holy Spirit's going to come, that Christ promised that he would come, that he is coming, that he has come. And then there are three things that he was going to do. The first one was he was going to convict or expose the world of or to its sin. Its sin. Good. And then the second one was convict the world of righteousness. Good. And then the last one, convict the world of, starts with a J. Judgment. Good. All right. So those three things. And then we kind of have that picture of the courtroom where the sin is the charge being brought, the righteousness is the standard, that is the law, that's what the expectation was or is. And then the judgment, what they are going to, the penalty they're going to pay by being condemned because of the accusation or the failure to keep the standard of righteousness. So now we get to verses 12 through 15, this idea of being guided into all truth. And this actually is the fifth statement that Christ has made regarding the Holy Spirit. The very first one was back in chapter 14, where we had the promise of the Spirit coming. Then the second one, we saw the Spirit would teach us all things. There also in chapter 14. Then third, we saw that the Spirit would bear witness of Christ and empower believers to do the same. That was in chapter 15, the first few verses of chapter 16. Then fourth, we saw what the Spirit would do, that he's going to expose the world to sin, to righteousness, and to judgment. Now we're moving into this fifth aspect of the Spirit, where we see that he is to guide us or lead us into all truth. So we have verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And I want us to think about that phrase or that word, bear them. All right, what is that? And again, what does that mean? To bear something. All right, I'll give you a second to think about that. The Greek word there is bastazo, I believe is how they pronounce it. And John uses that word, that Greek word, actually five times in the Gospel of John. Three of them are a little bit or similar. The other two are different. But back in chapter 10, chapter 12, and chapter 20, he uses it as taking up something. So they took up stones to cast at Christ. They took, it talks about Judas taking the money. It also talks about in chapter 20 where they took the body, they take away the body of Christ, or they took the body of Christ away. And then we have the two other ones where in chapter 19, Christ is bearing his cross on the way to Golgotha. And then chapter 16, a little bit different, but he says you cannot bear them now. So in that thought process, What is Christ talking about when he says, or John, when he says, you can't bear these things now?
Can't endure.
All right, you can't endure them. You can't handle them. You can't handle the truth. Is that off? What was that officer and a?
Yeah, often I'm too good.
A Few Good Men. Yes, A Few Good Men. There you go. I just remember it was, Yeah, Tom Cruise. I was thinking Top Gun, but yeah, Tom Cruise. All right, so you can't handle them. You can't endure them. Malcolm?
Well, what I'm seeing is that somebody's picking up or acquiring something. So maybe you can't acquire these things until the Holy Spirit.
Okay. All right, so it's things they can't add anything else to what they already have at that point, or they can't acquire anything more.
Habits are good. They can't grasp it yet.
Okay.
It was prior to his crucifixion and resurrection, so they just weren't able to, they couldn't comprehend it yet.
All right, so they weren't able to grasp it and comprehend it fully yet. Jonathan?
Jesus knows the effect certain knowledge would have. They would change their behavior. They wouldn't want to learn stuff that they need to in order before they understand that. Like, Jesus is going to die on the cross, so they're going to start raising an army to protect them, having a bodyguard, a convoy operation in every single city Jesus preaches in, if they knew some of the truth that was in the future. So they are ready to bury him. He doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want to be seen as a guy who goes, trounces around with a little small army and militia around the Holy Land.
Right.
So he knows the effects. Certain things must precede each other. And like an essay, you don't necessarily get the conclusion right up there with the introduction necessarily.
Right. Yeah. Good. All right. So when you look that up in Blue Letter Bible, it kind of gives a, I don't know if it helped a whole, lot, but, you know, to take up with the hands, to take up in order to carry or bear, you know, you're not supposed to use a word to define the word, but anyway, they did. To put upon oneself something to be carried, to bear what's burdensome. Again, bear to carry on one's person, to sustain, uphold, or support, or to bear away, carry off. So that's kind of the meaning behind the Greek word there. So we do get that idea that they are bearing something. Something else is being added to them that Jesus says they just couldn't really handle it or endure it,
comprehend
it. You know, it was that idea because we're talking about of teaching or truths here. So it's not literally something they're bearing, like a stone taking up a stone or taking up a cross. But this idea of they couldn't really bear to have any more truth or any more teaching added to them at that time. So why couldn't the disciples bear more of what Jesus had to say? All right, Jonathan kind of answered that just a minute ago. Everett?
Yeah, you know, God has a plan for all this. He knew that they couldn't bear it. And he knew that they would really require the Holy Spirit in their lives to be able to bear it. I mean, you can see what these men were like during the 3 years that Jesus lived. Mm-hmm.
Right.
At least New Testament. And so he knew what they needed. And he knew better about them than they knew of themselves.
Okay, good. Malcolm?
Often in the scripture says, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know,
uh-huh.
Like I say, that if we're going to be able to endure, it has to be by the Holy Spirit. There's no way in the world that we can live a Christian life outside being indwelt by the Holy Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Anything else would just be disastrous. It'll be exhausting, and it'll be a failure.
Okay. All right. Jonathan?
You don't necessarily ask the worldly guy out to marry you on the first date. You might even think, I'm going to marry this one, but you don't say, marry me at the first date.
Right.
Necessarily have kids before you marry.
Right.
And so it's like developing a trust. He doesn't want shallow believers.
Okay, so he's just trying not to get the cart before the horse.
Like brothers, you want people that are sincere, that are loyal, that have some depth to it. You need to develop the trust. And it's like different risk and trust. You don't want to risk Jesus, you want to trust him. But he wants to develop it and have it sincere. He wants it in the heart, not just out of a gamble.
Right.
Educated, and like a math problem, it takes a while to get there sometimes.
Yep, yes, that's true. Now, I would say, Jonathan, the first night that I met my wife, I told my roommate that I was going to marry her, but I didn't tell her that. So I waited a while before I told her that. Yes. I didn't want to freak her out and chase her away. But so no. No, I think our second date, I told her, because I was a junior, she was a freshman, even though we were the same age. I just went to college early. So I think it was our second date. I said, you know, I understand, you know, you're a freshman. If you want to date other guys, I understand that. And she took me up on it like the next week. So,
you have the insight, but no, not necessarily. Do you have the wisdom back then? Like one of his disciples, I think God said, who am I? And he says, you are God, the Son of Christ.
You're right.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. It was Peter, yes. And then he turned right around and he said, you know, he said, I'll never let you be crucified. And he said, get you behind me, Satan, as well.
So.
Yeah. So, all right. So verse 13, then we see it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare you the things that are to come. So if you have gone someplace and had a guide with you, you'll understand how crucial that guide is, especially if you're, you know, and my thought process here is with when Christ, as he's teaching his disciples, you know, he's conveying to them the idea of being out in the wilderness. You know, and I've never been in that area of the world. Some of you have been. But being in, you know, the unpopulated areas or traveling from one city to the next and, you know, the dangers that there would be and the terrain that's there and all that could take place as you are traveling. And so the guide would be very, very crucial getting you from one point to the next, or from point A to point B, from one city to the next thing. And all of, you know, again, as an individual, not being familiar with stuff like that, you know, that those areas, those types of things. And again, whether it's a wilderness, whether it's the forest, you know, I can maybe relate more to that because I've probably been in forest areas more than I have like wildernesses where it's just desert land and you don't really see much of anything. But all of that can be very daunting and very unwelcoming and scary. You remember on our honeymoon, we went to Honolulu and we flew there. And, you know, I remember, you know, being downtown and we looked up and we saw Diamond Head, and we're, you know, of course, you know, me, the cheapskate, I'm thinking, well, you know, we can just walk there. You know, it's not that far because, you know, Diamond Head's huge, you know, and it looked like it was, you know, just, you know, like a mile away. You know, so we started walking and it was like, are we ever going to get there? You know, then we got there finally and he had to walk all the way to the top. And by the time we got down, I was, you know, I was toast. Yeah, somebody told us there was like a refreshment thing at the top. You know, you could buy a water and all that. We got up there, there was nothing. So we got back down and we hired somebody to take us back on one of them bicycle with the little cart behind you. What are they? Yeah, rickshaw, you know. So we paid him to take us back. That was like the best $10 or whatever I spent, I think. Because we were worn out by then.
And we were 22.
Yes, that was a long hike, but you're what's that?
Oh yeah, I don't want to break.
No, go ahead.
I was just curious because I was thinking about it. You were talking to Jews who are here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and all of a sudden this thing about the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure. Did the Jews understand a personality in the Holy Spirit and?
No, I'm sure they didn't. Nope.
That would have blown my mind. And it's the wait a minute now. You know, I'm just dealing with God, Father and Son, being both equally God, and then all of a sudden you introduce this
third person, Holy Spirit. And a lot of them struggled with Christ as, you know, when he kept saying, I'm the Son of God, because, you know, we have one God. We have, you know, Elohim, and that's it. And, you know, Jehovah. And, you know, who are you saying you're equal to him? Kind of idea, and struggled with that.
If I was a Jew and say, oh, and they're not just me, and they're not just my father, we got a third.
Right.
And yet we're one.
And Jesus is so patient with the Jews, apparently. Pharisees and Sadducees. I don't think the Pharisees and Sadducees or anyone ever came to harm when he's trying to teach him. I mean, he didn't let them harm him.
Right.
And while he's trying to minister this gospel, and he's not, he's giving them chances, he's being patient, he's being gracious. I don't think any harm came to anyone who disagreed, sought the stone, sought the harm, or anything.
Nothing physical.
He
lashed out at him a little bit there. Called them hypocrites and brood of vipers, and
that was verbal.
Right. It was so it was a verbal one, but no, physically no, he never did. That's
or
true.
Conquered or anything.
Right.
I don't think there was regime change or anything.
No. Were you gonna say something, Renee?
Well, this is not just a general conversation with Jews. This is a very personal conversation to his disciples,
right,
who are certainly still very Jewish, but they still should be ticked along the meter a little more. They've seen more, they've learned more. And going back to that verse 10 where he talked about concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, I took that as a reminder of you have been convicted in righteousness in person by my words, by my actions, by living with me, by being with me. And what I see here is a very personal introduction to the Holy Spirit, who's going to be taking that role, because Christ is no longer going to be physically doing here doing those things for them, but the Holy Spirit will be coming. And so it's an introduction that they don't fully, can't fully, won't fully understand now, but it will certainly marinate in their minds until that day of Pentecost.
Right.
And it'll be aha.
Right. Yes. Yoni, and this is the fifth statement now that Christ has made to the disciples leading up to this, and I think each time he's giving them a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and now it's getting even more detailed. He was giving them even more to consider and to think about, but again, that's still that idea of that they have no idea, no concept of really what he's talking about, because they haven't experienced it. You know, so he is trying to paint a picture for them to understand and use words that they can associate with, which, you know, that this idea of a guide, you know, for most of us, that's really meaningless. You know, if you for us, it would be more like, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to be your Google Maps. Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it now,
yeah.
You know, for us, but, you know, to say, you know, he's your guide. Well, I don't, you know, like that doesn't mean anything to me because I don't use a guide. You know, I don't have anybody guide me from one place to the next to the next. You know, but my Google Maps or my Waze, I pull that up just to see if there's traffic on Rayford Road or Cliff, you know, whatever. And, you know, what's the fastest way to get somewhere? But that's kind of the idea. That's what Christ is trying now to teach and to portray to his disciples, to give them this idea of who the Holy Spirit is and how he is going to change things for them and make things better for them. Chris.
One of the things is that a lot of people don't know is that God's word is a guide for us. How often do we really go to this word to find the answer?
True. Right. And the Holy Spirit's going to use his word and what we know from the word, what we've memorized, to help guide us as well.
Exactly.
Right.
Where does it say
Matthew, it's a couple different, the Gospels, Matthew 16.
What did Jesus say?
Yes. Yes.
It's a narrow path that we have speed bumps, and we want life to go full, and we want those little things that
yes.
Are fully full, and I like to think of the Holy Spirit as like a prayer partner, while we're with the love on that.
Yes. Yep.
More perspective, the partner, and just getting the glory. You got to flirt with them and treat with them, but also know that he's gracious and gentle. That, like a prayer partner, like always, I like to use the Holy Spirit and Lady Wisdom as like a guide to help me draw closer to God. Like, okay, how do I understand this? How do I draw closer? What does he want? What is his will? Am I helping? Am I doing wrong? Am I worried right? Is my heart the right place? What am I thinking? I'm like trying to think of that narrow path.
Right, yes, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, good. Good thought. Good thought. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet this morning. We pray that you would
Help us to utilize the Holy Spirit more and to utilize your word more. And we know that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the truths that are found in the Word of God. And so we have to be diligent to learn them and to add them to our lives so that the Holy Spirit has a foundation and a base upon which to build and upon which to draw from. And so help us to be diligent to do that. In your name, amen.